One of the biggest things that I've had to battle with in my life is the programming pushed on me to be a victim. In our generation, we have had a severe brainwashing of it's not your fault, mm-hmm. it's someone else's fault, blame, blame, blame. And a lot of resentment is stirred up when people are victims of someone else. And a victim is by nature powerless. You know, so if you have power to act, you are powerful. And so the biggest lie that the devil can tell you is that you are powerless. Mm-hmm. You're powerless to act. You are a victim. You're a victim of other people. You have no control. Yeah, you can't help yourself. You know, who sang that song?
Christine DeMarco.
Yeah. Christine DeMarco's song was a really powerful moment in my life. You know, because it's been this battle from, I think from young, we are conditioned by the enemy to be a victim. And so a victim of, you know, other people, a victim of yourself, a victim of your past, a victim of your shame, a victim of any number of things that you can be a victim of. The words from that song where she sings, "I am no victim, I live with a vision." Huge, 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 like huge tool. You know, so much so that I've written that down everywhere because it's such a reframing tool of, I am not a victim, I live with a vision. Now, the thing about a vision is that you have power to pursue a vision. And I think that's so much where faith journey comes in, because, you know, one of the questions you asked is, which of these decisions would require God?
Yes.
And a lot of people, instead of having faith for something, they're like, oh, well, I can't do it, so I'm a victim. And so we're faced with two choices, to be a victim or to be faithful, to live in faith that through God, all things are possible, and to pursue a vision.
And we will say that there are actually real people who are really victims, mm-hmm. and they are in a place. One of our amazing leaders in South Africa, she once said to us, the description of the poor is a poor person is someone who cannot help themselves.
Yeah.
And so it is very real. People who are victims, women yeah. who are in human trafficking, like, it is a very real thing. And I yeah. think that is why it is so frustrating when the word victim is thrown around so loosely mm-hmm. to people who really aren't victims, but are choosing to be victims because they do not want to be responsible yeah. for their life. And as Christians, it is our great joy to be responsible for our life so that way we can help yes. the victims. Like, yeah. that is our whole point. If we're stuck in victim mindset of yeah. woe is me, then how are we ever going to serve the yeah. people around us and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth if we don't even believe the kingdom of heaven is manifesting in our own
yeah.
personal lives?
That's a great definition. That one of the poor is someone who cannot help themselves, and we are described as poor in spirit, mm-hmm. and that makes so much sense. Like, oh my gosh, like we couldn't help ourselves in our sin nature.
Yes.
And that's the very nature of Christ, is that he came to us who were poor in spirit and made us rich, made us powerful, made us complete, made us whole in spirit. So through Jesus, we are no longer victims. Mm. We are no longer condemned. We are no longer slaves. We are now called son, mm-hmm. bride, friend. I love it when Paul says, I am a bond servant. I am a slave of Christ. Because he's saying, my body, my flesh, I am making myself slave to Christ, but in the spirit. So in the flesh, it is good to be a slave of Christ. Mm-hmm. In the spirit, we are called son, we are called bride, we are mm-hmm. called friend, because of what Jesus did when we were poor
yes.
in spirit. And because we believe that the spirit world is dominant over this physical world around us, we therefore we live from that place of victory, even though our circumstances may not show that we are victors. And I think that is so much of the demoralization and the deception that the enemy uses against us. As he says, well, if you just go on Instagram quickly and look at everybody else, they're prospering. They have what you don't. You should covet what they have. You should have envy and greed. And then we get into this place of victimhood.
And I'll tie into that. A lot of times the enemy will speak in first person, so he will sound like, I need that, or I, and you'll think it's your own thoughts, mm-hmm. but it really is like the enemy
tempting you with covetousness and greed and envy.
Yes.
And so one of the biggest tools to overcoming a victim mentality is to declare, I am no victim. I live with a vision. And a vision requires faith. What am I going for? What do I have faith for? What makes me excited to be alive? What do I have faith that God has made me to do? To start pursuing that place, it is a easy thing to do, to blame other people. Mm-hmm. That was a great example. It was like, who are people who are real victims? It's people who are literally slaves, mm-hmm. literally being sex trafficked. Children are slaves. Mm-hmm. They have no rights. They are completely controlled by their parents. Mm-hmm. So if you are as a child being abused, you are a victim. If you as a lady have been trafficked, if even guys are trafficked as slaves, there's a huge slave trade in Asia and the Middle East right now that no one really talks about, that people are literally enslaved. Mm-hmm. And so in America right now, what a lot of people consider the most marginalized person in America has more opportunity, more power to act out a vision mm-hmm. than anywhere else on earth. Thankfulness, I think, is a huge part of that. Contentment, yes. Thankfulness, being like, wow, Lord, like, we're alive. We have a roof over our head. We have food in our stomachs. We have
family and friends.
We have time. And just being thankful for the things that we yes. have is totally incompatible with victimhood. I would be in a place of victimhood if I said, well, this person owes me this. So that's another huge thing that we really went through last year, was nobody owes us anything. You know, if we truly believe that Jesus died to set me free from my sins, from my debts, what right do I have to hold debts and hold sins on other people? You know, so often you can look at people who are richer than you, more powerful than you, and be like, they owe me this, and this. They owe me that, and that. And it's like, no one owes us anything.
Because Jesus has given us everything through what he did on the cross.
Yeah.
And this became all really real for us back in February when we were in a car accident. We were hit, and it was a hit and run. So the person got away. They hit multiple cars.
Mm-hmm. Totaled ours.
Yeah, ours was completely totaled. And we did not have collision coverage on our car.
Get collision coverage, people.
Yes, lesson learned. So we ended up getting nothing for our car that was totaled. And mm-hmm. in that moment, it became so real of, we have a choice to make.
Yeah.
And right now, we can choose to have a victim mindset and be sad and feel sorry for ourselves.
Angry.
Yeah, be angry and blame people, or we can get our vision going right now. And so we really like...
Yeah. So a big thing in this was God being our vindicator.
Yes. And that was really when we started searching scriptures of, and it is everywhere. Like right now in my Bible, I have everywhere where God is your vindicator. I have it highlighted in purple. Mm-hmm. And all through the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it talks about how God will vindicate us. God will fight for us. God mm-hmm. will repay the enemies for what he has done against us. God will repay it and make all good things to come together. So yeah. that became a declaration of God. Yeah. You're working all things together for our good. And what the enemy has used to steal from us, God, you are going to repay us yes. fivefold. And we were looking for ways to bless people. Robbie Dawkins has this thing where he calls it taking a toll on the enemy. So if the enemy yeah. takes something from you, you actively go out and start taking things from the yeah. enemy's camp. So we were like, okay, we are praying for people. Like, we yeah. are going even harder against yeah. the enemy, because
everything within us wanted to just close down and feel sorry for ourselves mm-hmm. and just be like, oh man, like, why is the enemy attacking us? It's the middle of winter as well.
Yeah.
You know, jobs are hard, money's hard, now our car gets taken from us, our bodies are banged up, you know, this is unfair, blah 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 blah. All this garbage of victimhood just comes knocking on the door saying, let me in, let me be your identity. And you literally have to come against that, not only with declaration and knowledge of being like, all right, God, you're our vindicator.
Yeah.
We're not a victim. In you, we have all things. You are our great reward. You see us yes. in secret and you reward us openly. You know, so we had to do all the identity stuff.
By faith, because we weren't yeah. feeling it.
No. And we had to then, by faith, put that into action, which is then, all right, we're not only just gonna sit in this faith, we're also gonna act on it.
And I will say, like, yes, you can understand your emotions. And like, I cried a lot during that season, and I was physically sad, and exhausted, and like all of your emotions are very real. This is not about pushing down your emotions. This has nothing to do with pushing. Actually, cry as much as you want. Talk to God about all of these things. Yeah, I was
gonna say, cry to the Lord.
Yes, yes, exactly. Write down in your journal exactly what you're feeling when something happens like that. The response, though, is how do we, in faith, respond to this situation that has happened to us that was totally outside of our hands?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be like, well, you know, Jesus never told anyone to pick themselves up by their bootstraps. And it's like, actually, he told the guy, pick up your mat and walk. There's this loving of being in our sorrow. Like, let me just feel sorry for myself right here.
It's glorified.
Yeah, and it's glorified in our culture. If I can show people that I'm a victim, they will give me sympathy. So then you have to continually justify your victimhood to continually getting more sympathy. Especially for men, no one respects a victim man. No one respects a man who says, I am powerless and it's so-and-so-and-so's fault. They may pity him, but they will never respect him. And so one of the biggest things that as a Christian man is like, do I believe God is my vindicator? Yes. Then how does that make me act and speak? Do I believe God sees me in secret and rewards me openly? Yes. Then how does that affect how I act and speak? Do I believe that I am a victim or a visionary? I'm a visionary. How do I act and speak? No great vision happens without challenge and setback. And so the moment you get challenge and setback in enemy opposition, it says in Proverbs, it says, if you fail in the day of adversity, how small is your strength? It's like such a challenge. It's like, oh, I thought you were a man. Like, get up, show yourself a man, and go towards your vision. Smile at the challenge. Smile at the adversity. Sure, there's going to be times when you're angry, when you're sad, when you're afraid, but you've got to take all of those things to God and pour those things out at his feet, not pour those things out onto social media, pour those things out into politics, pour those things out into blaming other people. You know, there really is a power in being like, God, like, you said you'll be my vindicator. You said you'll reward me openly. You said that I am your son or your daughter or your bride. So I'm going to push into that place and I'm going to act as if I believe that. Yes. I'm going to walk that out in faith.
And also, I remember one of the things that we declared after the car accident was, we are being upgraded. Yeah. Like, that was something we kept on saying, like, God is upgrading us. Our heart is just to encourage you that having a vision is much better than staying in a place of victimhood. Yeah. And even when we live in a time where it's kind of cool to be a victim, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say to stay in your victimhood, to stay a victim. Jesus tells you who you are. As Christians, we don't have time to waste being victims. No. There are real people that are going to hell. And if we are so focused on ourselves, then we're not going to be available for God to use us to send us out and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth.
And I'd say that politically as well, because I think a lot of people have government as their God. So government must vindicate me. Government must provide for me. Government must protect me. And so what ends up happening is in Ephesians or Romans, it says we fight not against flesh and blood, not against other people. We're fighting against principalities and powers. The devil, the enemy, the true enemy is principalities and powers in spiritual places, which are controlling other people. And so if we say, oh man, like, I hate this type of people, I hate that type of people, you're sitting in this identity of victimhood to their actions and responses. But if we go, all right, Lord, like, you're my vindicator, I don't have to justify myself to people, I don't have to defend myself to people, I don't have to go out and hate other people. The real victims are people who are oppressed and abused by principalities and powers, and they're manifesting out against you. Because if you're living in victimhood and someone comes along who's a visionary and is powerful, you are going to hate that person because he's going to challenge you to come out of your victimhood. Especially people who are inspirational in so far as, man, you know, I have no arms and no legs and here I am living my life and I have a beautiful wife and children and doing my thing. And it's like, well, how dare he do that? Because I've got two arms and two legs and I'm not doing that. And so I hate him. Or, you know, someone who is earning very low income but has a wonderful family and a wonderful life and is just carrying on and has no resentment to anyone else and is content with his one car and his, you know, just content with their lifestyle. Like, I've got to hate that person because I'm not content with my lifestyle. And so we end up hating people rather than dealing with the principality and the mm-hmm. power. And I'd say it's a huge false target that is put on us every day by the media is, oh, hate Republicans, hate Democrats, hate women, hate men, hate black people, hate white people. When the real thing going on is that there's a principality and a power trying to make everybody hate and be a victim mm-hmm. and blame and sit powerless. When God wants us to have our poorness of spirit, be saved into richness of the spirit and operate from that place of richness, operate from that place of power in the spirit into the physical world. Really study the word and see where God says that he'll provide for you, protect you, he'll promote you, he will vindicate you. And to really claim those scriptures as your identity and to live from that place. So, you know, that song has really become an amazing declaration, anthem for us of, I am not a victim, I live with a vision. Mm-hmm. It's written everywhere. It's in my journal, it's in my notes, it's on my social media. Like, I am calling myself to that standard because it's easy for Elijah, he goes and beats 400 prophets of Baal, huge power and wonders and miracles and glory. And then the very next chapter, he's in a cave hiding, saying, woe is me, that I'm the only one left. God, you know, why didn't you come and save this? It's like, dude, like God literally has to give him a little, it's like, dude, come on, be a man, go back on the road you came from, go confront the king, like go be a man. And so this thing of having to remind ourselves every day, I am not a victim. I live to a vision. God is my provider. God is my protector. God is my promoter. God is my vindicator. God who sees me in secret will reward me openly. You know, there's this power that comes with declaration and putting it before your eyes every day.
God is good and he is for us, and it is a good time to be alive.
Amen.